make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one man soul.
Greetings and great day to all of our radio listeners who have turned into our broadcast on this day. You are listening to an hour of empowerment with Charles Haywood Ellis III. We welcome your comments, discussions, questions, and feedback to enhance our talk show. For that purpose, you can reach out to Charles Ellis at www.charleshellisministries.org. You can also follow him on Facebook at facebook.com/Bishop Charles H. Ellis. Or reach out to him on Twitter at BishopCHE3. And now, here's your host, Charles Haywood Ellis III.
Thank you, Ms. Trevis, and welcome, 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 and great day to all of our radio listeners on today. And we certainly hope that this will be the beginning of a great week for you. I am your host, Charles Haywood Ellis III, and I'm here with my sidekicks, Trevis Colvin and Deronnie Smith. You can reach out to us, as Trevis just shared with you, on Twitter. The address is at Bishop, C-H-E, the number three, at Bishop, C-H-E, the number three. Or you can reach out to us on Facebook at Bishop Charles H. Ellis. Or you can reach out to us on our website, CharlesHEllisMinistries.org, CharlesHEllisMinistries.org. I want you to take this time now to call a neighbor, friend, somebody that you're working with, and share with them that Charles Ellis is on the air with an hour of empowerment. And I think that we have a great topic to discuss on today. We're going to be talking about mastering your money. And while many might think that that is an impossible thing to do, because so many have failed miserably at managing and mastering their finances and their money, I believe that we have a guest on today that is really going to help put us in the right direction, or point us in the right direction, and give us some great nuggets and words of wisdom on how we can not just manage our finances, but we can master our money. Our guest on today is Dr. Helen Crawley Austin, and she comes from the Columbus, Ohio area. Helen Crawley Austin is the Chief Executive Officer of Beyond Consulting Solutions. With over 25 years of corporate experience, Helen has committed herself to living a debt-free life and helping others to do the same. She has a background in electrical engineering and computer science from Ohio and Howard University. Her experience spans across all levels of end-to-end technical development and management of projects from inception to deployment. Helen has a track record for building high-performance teams to propel businesses to the next level. Not only did she lead a software development team from inception to $60 million in 1 year, but she also partnered in her own business to over $1 million increase in revenue in 18 months. Helen is the author of the book, Mastering Your Money. She is now excited to take all of the experiences that God has entrusted her to lead a debt-free revolution with Mastering Money group sessions all over this country, and literally will be going all over the entire world. I want you to welcome to our show on today, Dr. Helen Crawley Austin. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you, Bishop. I'm excited to be here today.
Listen, we are glad to have you on today, and we've got some exciting things that we want to share, and I want you to share with our listening audience. Of course, you came here to us here in the city of Detroit, and we put together a group, and I mean, they're still talking about the revolutionary way in which you teach us how to manage and to master our finances. And I thought that I would share your presentation as much as we could over these airways with a much broader audience, and those those of you that are just tuning in, I want you, if you know somebody that's having challenges with their money, somebody said your money is funny and your change is strange. If that's you, then this is the talk show for you on today. You can tell them to go to voiceamerica.com and they can click on the Empowerment Channel and they can join us in the discussion and they can participate in this great session and this great show on today. Helen, I want to start off by asking you a few questions.
Okay.
Why is it necessary for people to have a budget? We oftentimes think of budgets being for corporate America and not for individuals. Why is it important, or is it important for just an average citizen to have a budget?
It is absolutely critical because budgeting is just a process or procedure of creating a spending plan, how you want to spend your hard-earned money. But I have to say that, you know, a lot of people hate the thought of a budget, because they feel like it's restricting them, they can't do this, they can't do that. And to some degree, they're right, because a budget without a purpose is punishment. And so you definitely have to have a budget if you want to get somewhere in life with your money. Like, if you don't care, you're just living your life, then probably you don't need a budget. But if you want to do something with the hard-earned dollars that you make, you can't spend it on everything and have what you want. It'll just get away from you.
Well, you know, I'm a pastor, a bishop, and a preacher, and this is not a religious talk show, but I am who I am, and I certainly have to give it the flavor of the work ethic and the culture that I bring to it. Some people think, well, you know, I'll wait until I get a little bit more, and then I'll get a little more serious about trying to really manage what I have. But the Bible talks about if you cannot be faithful in that which is little, then you'll never be somebody who will be entrusted to great things. And can you talk about the importance of, you can start with a budget of $10, of $5, of, I tell people all the time, when I started the paper route at 12 years old, my portion of the money after I paid my paper bill was $15. And my mother helped me put together a budget for $15 at 12 years of age. And that budget, and that process and teaching that my mom taught me, not the School of Economics from the Kennedy University at Harvard. I'm talking about Wilma Ruth Bardwell Ellis University. She taught me how to handle $15 and how to budget that every week. And it has blessed me to what I'm able to have and to make now. Can you talk about the need to budget from what you have, even if it is just as little as $80 a week or fixed income of $68 Social Security check a week?
First of all, let me say, what an outstanding lesson. And when you think about the reason why a lot of us are in the situation we're in now is because our parents never taught us. And maybe because nobody ever taught them. And so you are blessed that you had a mom that took the time to show you how to spend $15. Because here's the issue. It's not about how much money you make. It's about how much money you spend. And I think that's where people get it mixed up. It doesn't matter. If you make $250,000, you can't live like a millionaire. And if you make $2,000, you can't live like you make in six figures. And so it's really around getting your arms around what you are spending. And you have to spend according to what you make. And I think that's the issue. I tell people, I've heard a really good definition of rich. Or rich people. Rich people are those who voluntarily spend less than what they make and invest in things that multiply. So you have to spend less than what you make. You have some disposable income left over, and you invest that in things that multiply. That's the definition of rich. I don't care how much money you make.
And I receive that because rich is a relative word, right?
Yes.
So then I love that definition. So sometimes we think, well, I have to have $1 million to be rich. There are a lot of people that make $1 million that are bankrupt and poor.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love that. Can you give that definition one more time?
All right. Rich people are those who voluntarily spend less than what they make and invest in things that multiply. And the good news about that means everybody can be rich. It's just a matter of you making some adjustments so that you're spending less than what you make. And the sooner you do that, the better off you will be, because now you don't have to go to a credit card when you got an issue because you saved some. You don't have to go to a credit card when you go on vacation because you saved some and you invested some. And some things are coming in So you're creating another stream of income by investing in things that multiply.
And, you know, I'm glad to have you on the show today. You know, my mom probably would not get a lot of respect from a lot of listeners because they would say, well, you know, Charles A. Jealous III, what school did she go to? What kind of degree does she have? Did she get a MBA from Harvard? You know, no, she's just a person who was a person who grew up in Huntington, Tennessee. And her parents were farmers, but they owned their own property and had tons of acres of land. And she just told me things that her daddy used to tell her, live beneath your means. If you can't buy two, don't buy one. And, you know, those simple nuggets that she shared with me. Of course, I went on to get an accounting degree at Wayne State University. Mm-hmm. But I tell people all the time, you know, Wayne State just helped me to really craft and perfect that which my mother was already teaching me as a young person. And when you said that I am blessed to have a mother, or a parent who taught me those lessons and taught me those practices, you are absolutely right. She'll be 81 in just a few days, wow. And I'm going to do something very, very, very nice for her on her 81st birthday because she really has invested so much into me in terms of knowledge that if she never left me a dime, or my father never left me a dime, they've given me information that I ought to be able to fend for myself and make a good living.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Even if you got a degree at Harvard, anybody graduating from Harvard and most of the colleges across the country, they're not teaching them personal finance. So, and the other thing about your mother is that in order for her to really teach you, you watched her. So she not only sat down with you and showed you the $15 and what to do with it, but you watched her life because that is the best teacher. So not only did she teach you by showing you, but she taught you by living it. And so, and we have kids now that are growing up, and they don't even know how to do a budget because we're not doing a budget, right?
Absolutely.
And so, if you can't do it for yourself, you got to do it for your kids. Why they're coming out of school with thousands of dollars of student loan debt, and they're not getting the jobs that we got in our decade. And so we're now producing kids that are going to be worse off financially than us, and they're not going to know what to do because they're used to getting everything, iPhones, iPads, you know, Wii Box, Xbox, all of that. They still want all that stuff, and they're not going to know how to budget according to what they make.
I'm going to go old school for just a minute. And then we're coming close to our break, and I promise our listeners we're going to get into some technical nuggets that you're going to share that's really going to be able to bless them. But I can remember my mom always saying, you know, you have to wait on some things. You can't have everything mm-hmm. immediately. You can't have everything right now. And what helped that process years ago, Helen, and I'll be 57 in just a few months, we had something in the 60s and the 70s called layaway. In other words, you know, if you didn't have the money to purchase it, you know, we didn't have credit cards back then, but we had layaway. So you would, mm-hmm. you know, it cost $39 and all you had was 10. So you go in there and put $5 of your $10 on and that put that item aside for you. And you went back and paid $2 and $11, had a birthday and got $20. You put all that on it. And at the end of the day, you were able to bring that thing home because you had paid for it. And when you brought it home, it was paid for. You know, what do you say about this generation and their excitement about things that I just have to have it right now and I'll find any kind of way, sign my life away, get into debt for the rest of my life just to have something, to have that instant gratification? That probably works against us, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, we live in a microwave society. Everybody wants it right now. And they don't realize that there's an issue with it until they're 40, 50. And then in some cases, it's so late or they're in so much debt that they don't have a clue what to do. And it's really because of this generation. Everybody got to have it right now. I mean, maybe we need to get rid of the microwaves. But I wanted to outline 5 reasons why you should have a budget.
Okay.
One is to help you set and reach your financial goals.
Okay.
2 is to help you spend according to priorities that you sat down and thought about, right? And 3 is to build wealth for passive income so that you can have some extra money to invest in things that multiply. The 4th one is for retirement. At some point, you are going to not be able to work anymore, and God forbid, you got to live just on Social Security, right? How many people do we know like that? So plan for your retirement. And I know it's hard when you're young, so just start your 401k out when you first get your job. And the last one is just peace of mind. You know how many people are stressed out right now over finance? Number one cause of divorce in America, but also ulcers and cancer and a whole lot of things are happening because of the stress around finances. And I'm getting calls all over the country. And so I know it's true. And so these are the reasons why you should have a budget so that you can direct your dollars where you want them to go.
And I would tell you this, when you use that analogy of we live in a microwave society, and, you know, when you put things in the microwave, most times you're putting it there because you want something that is piping hot. But I've come to realize over the years or the decades of this microwave, you know, it might be piping hot when you pull it out of the microwave, but for some reason, it almost gets cold like 2 minutes after you begin eating it. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you the number of trips that I make with one plate back to the microwave. Now, when you put it in the oven years ago, when it came out of that oven, Durrani, it was hot for the next half hour. I mean, you know, that food and that plate was hot, and you could eat it. But this microwave, man, I put my plate in the microwave, you know, same food. I'm not talking about putting some more food on it and having to heat it. I'm talking about the same food. By the time you've got some barbecue ribs, you've eaten three bones, and now you got to go back in the microwave. And that's and I think that's the same analogy. Some of the things we got to have right now, we have it, we bring it home, and then 3 months later, we don't even want it. We don't even care about it. And it's almost like we have to develop an appetite for it all over again. Mm. You're talking, you're listening to an Hour of Empowerment. I'm your host, Charles Haywood Ellis III, and our guest on today is Dr. Helen Crawley Austin. We're talking about mastering your money. We've got to pay a few bills, and we've got to go to commercial break, but we'll be back on the other side. Again, I want you to call a neighbor and a friend, let them know that an Hour of Empowerment is on the air. They can reach us by going on voiceamerica.com, and they can click on the Empowerment channel, and you will be able to join the conversation on today. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Grace and peace, my brothers and sisters. I'm Bishop Charles H. Ellis III, extending a special invitation to all senior pastors to join our exciting and expanding fellowship, Agape. This pastoral fellowship will provide a spiritual covering for you and connect you to the powerful anointing that God has placed upon our life. There are no yearly dues or fees aside from one initiation fee of $200. Remember that Agape is available to all senior pastors, regardless of denomination or reformation. Therefore, won't you begin this brand new year by aligning and enhancing your spiritual endeavors with Agape, a graceful association of pastors ecumenically? And I hope to hear from you real soon.
For information, visit theagape.net. That's theagape.net. Or call us at 313-543-6069. That's 313-543-6069. They are classics from Charles Haywood Ellis III. Illustrated sermons, that is, on-stage sermon dramas that bring the Bible to life before your eyes. Like the Whip, Hammer, and Cross.
Judge him, Pilate! Judge him! Crucify him! And with his stripes, we are healed!
And the Horrifying, To Hell and Back. Thousands worldwide have been touched, even transformed, by these amazing stage productions. Get the DVDs at charleshellisministries.org. And don't miss his hot-selling books, Wisdom for Life's Journey, and Things My Father Used to Say. Little treasure troves of wisdom and eye-opening insights that will take you to a new level of success. This and so much more is available at charleshellisministries.org.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Welcome back to our show on today. I'm Charles H. Ellis III, and you are listening to An Hour of Empowerment. And we're talking about mastering your money with our guest, Dr. Helen Crawley Austin. If you want to reach out or if you have any questions that we were able to get back with you on at a later date, you can reach us on Twitter at Bishop, C-H-E, the number 3, or Facebook, you can reach out to us at Bishop Charles H. Ellis. And then we have a website that we certainly would like for you to have, and that's charleshellisministries.org. You can reach out to us on any of those mediums. Again, we're talking to Dr. Helen Crawley Austin about mastering your money and managing our finances. Helen, according to Forbes magazine in 2012, only 18% know that they are on track to reach their income goal in retirement. And the national average savings rate is only about 4%, which is well below the 10 to 15% financial planners typically recommend for savings for retirement. If only 18% are on track to reach their goal, and most others are anywhere from 6 to 11% short approaching retirement, where does that leave us, and how do we address this? You know, and I think, you know, seminars like yours, you know, it certainly helps people to at least identify the problem and then find a way to get on track. Can you help some of our listeners on the day that might find themselves in these unfortunate percentages?
You know, Bishop, that's why I'm so passionate about what I do, is because it is critical for some people to get on track ASAP and make some deep cuts in what they're spending. Because you gave out some statistics, but over 25% of American families have no savings at all, zero. They're living from paycheck to paycheck. So they can't even think about retirement. They're trying to think about next week. And it's really about spending and getting things under control. Most people want to get it under control. They really, really do. They just need help. And that's why Mastery Money is out there, to try to actually help you with challenges every month. We also have a coaching session where you leave with homework every single week. Because we go to college, we go to high school, we go to different organizations, but nobody's really taught us how to do a budget and hold us accountable for it. We've tried, many people try over and over and over again. They did a proposed budget but never tracked their spending. So I have a coaching class for 6 to 8 weeks where you actually have an assignment every single week. And at the end, you have your whole financial blueprint ready for you to implement. But it is a serious issue, and that's why I'm so passionate about what I'm doing. I'm actually spending more time on Mastering Money than I am on my engineering consulting firm, because this is my passion. And when I hear all the phone calls that I get, it is amazing, amazing.
So let me ask you this. How can people begin to start developing even the discipline to start budgeting? You know, sometimes, you know, just getting people on that road, you know, you can't take a step in the right direction unless you at least get on the road. You know, you can't begin any squats or sit-ups, you know, until you begin at least to acknowledge that I've got to start working out. So how do we get people on the road? And you would think that it would be self-motivation, because they know better than anybody else the kind of financial predicaments that they're in. So how can we help to get people to give them maybe that push to get on that road?
Well, first of all, I think the pain now for a lot of people is so severe that they're looking for help. But the other thing is that I'm forming debt-free life groups, because I think that people need accountability. Or they need to know other people are doing it also. They're not out there by themselves. So even on their frustrating days, there's somebody to talk to about it. So we have groups similar to like Weight Watcher groups. We're forming debt-free life groups so that we have challenges every month. So every month I have a challenge. For example, 1 month, November, last November, was no eat out for the whole month. So knowing that people all around the country, nobody's eating out. And how much money can you save by not eating out? It was phenomenal when people realized how much money they were really spending eating out. We had 1 month when it was cash only.
I could have saved $97 yesterday.
Yeah, cash only. No debit cards, no credit cards. So we are trying to implement things that cost them anything. We're trying to implement things that will allow them to do it with a group of people. You know, we had one lady who just could not save anything. And she used no credit cards, no debit cards for 1 month and saved $900.
Wow.
And she was trying to get to $1,000 in her emergency fund or her necessity fund. So what we're trying to do is create an environment where buying a used car is cool. You know, not getting a new one, but buying a two-year-old one. You know, let somebody else pay the depreciation. And now we're getting corporate sponsorships. So as people are making progress, they're going to now start being rewarded for helping their own self. I mean, when you think about it, you helping your own self and you're going to get rewarded because it is something that people are having a hard time being self-motivated by because they've not seen it. They've not seen it. They've not been taught how to budget or to sacrifice or to hold back. So we're going to try to reward them for doing that.
Well, I remember when you were here with our group, you told us you wanted everybody to make a goal to save over $1,000 for the
exactly.
year, and you would do it on a weekly basis. And then you showed us how to do that. I want you to share with our listening audience, how can anybody save over $1,000 in 1 year? What is the process?
And this is well known. We adopted a process called 52-week challenge, and many people have done it all over the place. But really, it's saving a dollar more a week. So you start out the first week, you save a dollar. The second week is $2. The third week is $3. Week 52 is $52. And every week you just save another dollar. At the end of that, you'll have $1,378 in 1 year.
And I don't want anybody to break in my office or my home, but I've got an envelope somewhere around the city of Detroit that this week on today, I put $22 in that envelope. Well, it depends on whether you started on the 1st of January or you started the first full week of January. And I can't remember which one I did, but I'm crossing it off on that envelope. I wrote the numbers 1 all the way through 52 on an envelope, and each week I cross it out. So I've crossed out 1, and I've crossed out 2, and I've crossed out 3, and I put those dollars inside that envelope. And this week it was either $22 or $23. I think it was $22 by my calendar that I'm in the 22nd week. And I put $22 in that envelope, and I put an X on it that week 22 is done. And next Monday, I'll put $23 in that envelope. And then the next Monday, I'll put $24 in that envelope. And you told me that at the end of the year, I'm going to have $1,300 and change. And now what I'm going to do, Helen, is a set a goal that December is going to be a no-eat-out month. It's also going to be a no-buy-Christmas gift month so that I can take that $1,300 into the next year and start my envelope all over again. How about that?
I like it. So we're trying to create a culture that is centered around debt-free living and helping people to get there by incenting them. They incent themselves. We're actually asking churches to incent their congregations to get out of debt because I also believe that to get to the church, and I know this is not just a church talk show, but I believe that debt-free families create debt-free ministries. And so you want to creating a generosity, a culture of generosity across the country, across our organizations. I think it's just going to be a blessing for everybody. But I think the key to it is making sure people have disposable income, which they don't have in a lot of cases today.
Well, let me ask you this, because one of those 5 points that you had that you gave out earlier in the first segment, why is it important to budget? And I looked at you said to build wealth for passive income, and then mm-hmm. you talked about to be able to have adequate retirement. And number 5, you gave for peace of mind. And when I think about retirement, at 57 years old in July, you know, I am really thinking now, you know, about, okay, at some point in time, I'm not going to be doing what I'm doing now, and I'm not going to be doing all the things that I'm doing now. And, you know, while you have a job and while you have a check coming every week or once a month or first and the 15th, whatever it is, you know, it just seems as if life just keeps moving on along. But there's going to come a day, possibly for most people, when that check that you have received for so many years is not going to be there. And you will have hoped that you have done the right thing over the course of that working life so that when you're receiving that check that might be much, 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 much more diminished than what you have been receiving, that you have got that retirement over there to subsidize, that you might maintain a quality lifestyle. I didn't say a rich lifestyle, didn't say a wealthy lifestyle, but I said a quality lifestyle. And certainly quality will take on different variations the older you get. You know, there'll come a point in time when, hey, you can care less about a car, or you can care less about clothes, you know, because maybe your travel is not as extensive as it once was. You know, you're not trying to keep up appearances with anybody because, you know, you're a homebody maybe, and you don't have to have that presentation that you once had. But when I looked at it, those five reasons, I looked at retirement and peace of mind, because God knows, if you don't have money in your retirement, it's going to be hard to have peace of mind. Mm-hmm. And Helen, I've said over and over again that I'm not working hard in two and three jobs. I mean, I'm pastoring a church. I'm ministering outside my church. I've got radio shows, and I'm just doing, I'm writing books and all of this. I'm not doing all of that. And working overtime and double time and triple time, quadruple time to get a job in my retirement. Are you kidding me? Right. When I retire, I've got to make my own schedule. I've got to throw the clock out the window, and I've got to have most of all peace of mind. What do you have to say about that?
I mean, the thing about it is you have a goal, right? So you set a goal, so you already know you're gonna have peace of mind. So the key is the Bible says, write the vision, make it plain, right? So you've got to have goals, and a goal is a desired result that a person plans to commit to achieve. You got to be committed to achieve it. But it gives you clarity on your end vision, so clarity on ultimately what you want. It helps drive you, so you wake up in the morning knowing I'm not just working, but I'm working for a reason. It gives you laser focus. It makes you accountable to yourself. So if you don't have a goal, you're not even, not only are you not accountable to anybody else, but you're not accountable to yourself. And then it helps you achieve your highest potential because you're shooting for something. So you got to have goals in place in order to get where you want to go long term. If that's retirement, if that's peace of mind, if that's investment properties or just passive income in general, you got to sit down and write that down, make it time frame by when, you know when you want to retire, right?
Absolutely.
So you got to put some time around. You got to have very smart goals.
Well, you know, the Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. In a more modern translation, it says that the people are unrestrained, or the people just run wild. They do whatever they want to do. Here's another statistic that was in Forbes magazine. Most employees do not have an emergency fund. Only 42% are uncomfortable with the amount of debt that they have. And one third don't have enough of a handle on their cash flow to spend less than they make each month. That says to me that discipline is a serious problem that most people have when it comes to their cash and when it comes to their money. How do we help people to get better disciplined?
I think there's some easy things that some people can do, and there's some couple ways that you can cut costs that probably you're just wasting. For example, cable, your cable subscription. Like, do you really have to watch 200 or 500 channels? So there's some ways you can cut just your cable costs on a regular basis. We had, in January, the challenge was, the Mastering Money Challenge was to cut your subscriptions and your channel, just review your cell phone bill. One lady cut, it would save $3,000 just looking at things she wasn't even really using. So cable, your mobile service, your data plan, you can now use Wi-Fi everywhere and reduce your data plan on your cell phone. That's the biggest part of your cell phone. Fitness memberships. A lot of people ain't even using them. They got a fitness membership. They don't go get one that's $19.99, $9.99 versus $100. Home phone. We're telling people if you don't use your home phone, just cut it off and use your cell phone. You're using it anyway. Look at your insurance deductibles. Maybe you can increase your insurance deductibles to a point where you can save enough money to start putting it away somewhere. Or sell a car. Do you have to have two cars? Do you have to have four cars? I mean, there's some assets that you can possibly sell. Now you don't have insurance on it. So there's some things that people can do that doesn't even change the way they live. Doesn't change anything. It's just getting rid of the excess.
So that means that we must be people who are cognizant and very aware of our money. And I think so many times, you know, how many people are just not even cognizant of their money? You know, you would think that the less money you have, the more cognizant you would be of it, because you don't have a safety net. You don't have a rainy day fund, you know. But I would say that there are people all the time, you know, that are just not even cognizant of their money. I've said to my congregation on numerous times that you shouldn't call the bank and ask them what your balance is. I said, it's your money. They're just holding it for you. So you ought to be calling the bank, telling them or assuring them or making sure that I've got $387.49. In that, because nobody's spending the money but me. And I said, sometimes when you're always calling the bank and you get in a habit of having the bank to confirm to you what you have, then that might not be a good thing. You could have a dishonest teller, you know, who says, wow, this person has no clue what money they have in this bank. They could be tapping your account, going to lunch, and whatever the case is. So I think a big problem in our community sometimes is that people are just not even cognizant of their money. And we've certainly got to do a better job at that. You're listening to An Hour of Empowerment. I'm your host, Charles Haywood Ellis III, and we're talking with Dr. Helen Crawley Austin from the Columbus, Ohio area, but she travels all over this country and soon traveling all over this world, teaching on mastering your money. We've got to pay a few bills, and we'll be back with our last segment on the other side of this break.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
They are classics from Charles Haywood Ellis III, illustrated sermons, that is, on-stage sermon dramas that bring the Bible to life before your eyes, like the Whip, Hammer, and Cross.
Judge him, Pilate! Judge him! Crucify him! And with his stripes, we are healed!
And the Horrifying, To Hell and Back. Thousands worldwide have been touched, even transformed, by these amazing stage productions. Get the DVDs at charleshellisministries.org. And don't miss his hot-selling books, Wisdom for Life's Journey, and Things My Father Used to Say, little treasure troves of wisdom and eye-opening insights that will take you to a new level of success. This and so much more is available at charleshellisministries.org.
This year, I'm getting mine, to get my healing, to get my joy, to get my happiness, to shout yay!
And you can get the enlightenment and uplift you need from the Amazing Grace telecast, the broadcast outreach of Greater Grace Temple in Detroit, with Senior Pastor Bishop Charles H. Ellis III. Join us daily, Saturday through Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, on the Word Network.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
Charles Haywood Ellis III, And you still have time to call somebody and to let them know that an hour of empowerment is on the air. And we're talking about mastering your money with Dr. Helen Crawley Austin. I've been putting Helen in the Columbus, Ohio area. She's from Chicago, Illinois, but she was in Columbus, Ohio. So she's gone from being a Buckeye to they call them Illini's, or what are they? Well, nobody cares about Illinois. All we care about is Michigan State and U of M. So either you're a Sparty or you're Wolverine. So that now, let's get back to mastering your money. I think an alarming trend, Helen, that is happening now is that young people are getting in debt at such an early age. You never saw that. And I'm 57 again in a few months. You never saw that in the 60s and the 70s and maybe in the early 80s. But something happened in the late 90s. And once we turn the millennium, the 2000s, I mean, what is up with young people in their early 20s, you know, into thousands or tens of thousands of dollars of debt? Can you help us to find out what's going on and how we can turn this trend?
It's a couple of things going on, Bishop, that is just really alarming to me, especially with the phone calls that I'm getting from across the country. First thing is credit cards. So the first week a student gets in school, college student, they get 8 credit card applications. And that is because the credit card companies realize that whoever gets the first credit card, gets them to do the first credit card, well, they will keep that credit card for life. And so credit card debt, students are coming out of school with a lot of credit card debt, so we got to teach our kids. Secondly is student loan debt. This is alarming. Now, although the average student loan debt is about $33,000 worth of debt, I have not had a call that had anything close to $33,000. I'm talking $93,000. I'm saying teachers and people who don't even have jobs. Got a master's degree and no job, and the student loan debt is due. And so there are a couple of things that are going on. First of all, our students aren't spending enough time preparing themselves to get scholarships before they get into school. That's one. The parents aren't saving college funds for their kids so that they can go to school. And so even if they get a partial scholarship, they got to get a student loan to survive because the parents don't have any money to pay for books or whatever. And so there's so many scholarships out there that are not even tapped. I mean, they'll have one or two applicants because kids aren't even applying. And so that's where the parents have to step up and take charge and help their kids make sure that they are ready. I'm on a couple scholarship committees, and there's some kids that are coming in completely unprepared, not going to get the scholarship. But you could save your children, you could save yourself thousands and thousands of dollars because the service jobs are in full force right now. Like, we got people with college degrees working at McDonald's. Now, if you got $50,000 worth of student loan debt, you're in trouble.
Not going to pay that out. No.
Right. So we're going to launch a service that is just going to prepare kids from 9th grade to 12th. To get scholarships. The goal is to prepare them ACT scholarship applications, making sure they got their essays done and their transcripts ready. That's one of the things we're going to do because I can help people get out of debt, but why not help them before they even get in debt? So that's one of the goals we're going to be doing over the fall. But go ahead. You had a question.
Yeah, and let me just jump in here and to say on yesterday here in our ministry, we had our what we call graduates recognition exercise and program where we recognize all of those that are graduating from high school and colleges, trade schools, and the like. And, you know, we're not in any major foundation. I mean, we're a ministry which operates strictly off of charitable giving, and that is whatever it is, you know. And you project it, but certainly not until it comes in do you know what you have. And we gave away yesterday just at about $30,000 worth of scholarships to young people. And I thought that was commendable, especially in this economy. But I will say to you that when I looked at all of the graduates that were coming out of high school and that were going to some kind of higher learning education, not all of them even applied for the church's scholarships, and we had three different scholarships within the church, and not all of them applied. And that kind of puzzled me. And I said, wow, you know, is it that the parent is not aware? But then I'm saying, wow, if you're in the 12th grade, you know, you kind of should be responsible. You know, you ought to be telling your parent that I heard the announcement and there is a scholarship, and you know, I need to make sure I fill it out. And
no.
Because going to college, you know, your mom's not going to be there to wake you up to go to school. So you really have to be matriculating to being an independent and responsible individual. So we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, that's not, unfortunately, that's not what's happening. I don't know if our kids are, I don't know, I think they're spoiled. But it's amazing. We have a scholarship also. We have to write the parents and say, hey, you know, we only got two applicants for our scholarship. Can you get your kids to apply? So, yeah, I mean, that is one proactive approach that we want to take at Mastering Money. And but there's so many, you know, so many things going on that it's hard to tackle all of them, but that's definitely one we want to tackle. But, you know, there's so much waste out there. I mean, wasting scholarships, we're spending our money and on wasteful things, just trying to keep up with the Joneses, so... You know, it's just a big problem across the country.
Yeah, and some of that is so unfortunate. You know, certainly those of us that have been here in Detroit for any number of years or decades, you know, when you start saying trying to keep up with the Joneses, you know, this is Motown. It still is, you know, even though they moved out to California years ago. So we know all of those songs. Those songs are written out of experience. You know, don't let the Joneses get you down and trying to keep up with the Joneses and all of that. I wanted you to share something else in terms of give us two tips to avoid impulse shopping and wasteful spending, because sometimes, you know, people are always making statements. Why did I buy that? You know, and I'm saying, well, you know, you're the one that bought it, you know, so I can't answer that for you. You know, you've got to answer that for yourself. Give people some tips on how to keep that money in your pocket. You know, we all want to keep the economy going and we want to buy things that we need, but sometimes we buy things and just have no clue as to why we just made that purchase. So give us some tips on how we can avoid impulse shopping and wasteful spending.
Well, I actually think the number one way to do that is to sit down and seriously spend some time on your goals, because that will really direct your heart so that you don't have to keep up with the Joneses. And I tell people that it's not about how much money you make a month or how much money you make a year, but if you look at how much money you're going to make in your lifetime. So let's say you're 40 years old and you're going to retire at 65. You can do a calculation to figure out how much you're going to make over the next 25 years. And I contend that there's nothing you won't be able to fund. Because even if you went to high school, didn't get a college degree, but just graduated high school, in your working life, you'll make a million. That's just like minimum wage job. You're going to make a million. So
wow.
If you have a halfway decent job and you're making more than minimum wage and you're 40, between 40 and 65, 25 years, you're probably going to make several million dollars. I want people to start thinking about, how am I going to spend $2 million? And when you start thinking about how I'm going to spend $2 million, and you look at your goal, maybe your goal is to have a summer house in Florida, retire in Florida with a house paid for, and you want to make $2 million over the next 25 years, right? You want to at least spend at least a couple $100,000 on that house. And so now, is it worth you going out to eat every week when you can be spending that money on your house that you want to have in Florida, or that car, or those clothes, or those shoes? It's not about one pair of shoes and one pair of clothes or whatever. It's about hundreds of pairs of shoes over 25 years.
Now you just woke me up. Now, if a person makes $100,000, Trevis, per year, $100,000 per year over 10 years, that is, wow, $1 million.
Right.
Wow.
In 10 years.
So 30 years.
Even including inflation. It's going to go up.
Right,
so it's
right.
A million plus in 10
in
years.
Yeah, and in the automotive plant, it was 30 and out. You could work 30 years and come out and get your retirement. So you could make $3 million over 30 years. wow, and you made $3 million, and that was in your hands. Well, Charles H. Ellis III, I had to pay taxes. Yeah, and that is an expense that you have to pay. You know, there are expenses in life. I wish to God we could make money, didn't have to spend, and we didn't have any expenses. But wow, $3 million.
How in the world could you not have anything?
You got to have something.
Your retirement house in Florida. But if you only look at it as if I'm making, you know, $10,000 a month, $100,000 a year, you know what I'm saying? If you look at it from that perspective, that how, and I got, you know, I got a house, I got a car, I got kids. From that perspective, you know, trying to take $200,000 or $300,000 out is hard. But when you look at it over people, you got to start managing money over a lifetime, and not over the month. And then when you have a goal like that, then this whole budget and this whole, you know, making sure you're getting the best interest rate, all that stuff now makes sense. Like, I got to do this because I got that goal. And I'm making this big pot of money. Shame on me if I have nothing left at the end of it.
Wow.
And I
listen,
can't
Helen, our time is getting away. We've got a few minutes, but I want to make sure that everybody knows how to contact you. So I don't want us to get up against closing out this broadcast on today, and then you're trying to rush that information out. So I want you to take time right now, because I'm sure that some of our listeners, their ears have perked up, and their interest is at an all-time high, and we want to catch them and strike the iron while it's hot. How can they reach out to you so they can further advance managing their money, mastering their money, and managing their finances with your assistance?
I got several ways. You can go to HelenCrawleyAustin.com, which is my website, and you can opt in to be a participant. You can also reach me on Facebook, Mastering Money with Helen Crawley Austin. If you ask to join the group, I will put you in the group. You can inbox me any questions you have. You can also email me at masteringmoneygroup@gmail.com. Masteringmoneygroup@gmail.com. So those are the three ways that you can join me. And consider joining our Mastering Money group coaching sessions that will be starting late summer. We're going to give everybody the summer off. We're going to give you homework assignments over the summer. But it's a great way. I think it's going to just be like $97 for your 6 weeks, but you come out with a plan and you start thinking about some things that you probably not thought of before. Or if you want to start a church group, go to my website. Just find one of those three ways to reach me, and we can help you all start a church group.
I believe also I heard you say something that you had a publication or you have a book. How can people order that book? How can they obtain it?
Yes, you can go to my website at HelenCrawleyAustin.com, but it's also on Amazon. So it's Mastering Your Money, 30 Day to Better Financial Awareness. So it's on Amazon.com, or if you go to the website, it's right there. You can click on it. It'll take you straight to the Amazon link, HelenCrawleyAustin.com.
All right. I've got a question to ask you. Does creating a budget literally mean I will have more money in my pocket?
Absolutely not. Creating a budget allows you to see where your dollars are going so you can start managing them better. So when you a lot of people feel like, you know, I'm going to do a budget. So they do a budget, and that's really your proposed budget, where you think you're going to spend. The real work is where you actually spending your money. So you got to track it for a month, right? And then it gives you an opportunity to see where you're really spending your money, and then you direct it. That's where you direct it, and you figure out how to save some money. That's where you cut the fat out the budget. That allows you to see what you're really doing so that you can make some adjustments. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to find more money. It will mean you'll find more money if you stop eating out as much and you change some of your subscriptions. When you make some changes, then you may have more money. But people are wasting more money than they ever thought.
And on that note, I think that we've got enough to get started. You know how to contact Dr. Helen Crawley Austin, who has been our guest on An Hour of Empowerment. We've been talking about mastering your money. I certainly hope that you've enjoyed the broadcast on today. Remember, you can reach out to Charles H. Ellis III on our website, charleshellisministries.org, or you can reach out to us on Facebook at Bishop Charles H. Ellis, and also you can find us on Twitter at Bishop CHE3. Helen, you've been a tremendous guest on this show, and you share with us some tremendous nuggets on how we can master our money and our finances. Thank you for being a guest on today.
You're welcome.
Thank you for tuning in to an hour of empowerment. You have a great day and an even better week.
It's gonna feel real good. Some more change.